Come to God's Word, and having reached the end of the New Year's mini-series, some of you might be expecting me to go back and finish the last of our stories in Sunday School series, or at least that last part of that section, looking at Solomon. And certainly as I began the week, that was the route I was going to take. However, this morning I'm not going to do that. As I felt God lead me in a totally different direction altogether. With news of that we've been granted planning permission for the building, you might even expect me to start preaching about how we should press on with that, encouraging people to give. But whilst that's important, and maybe I'll do that later on, this morning I felt God lay on my heart a very different message. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Ephesians 2. Starting at verse 19. Ephesians 2 and verse 19. If you don't have Bibles with you and want some, there are some at the back. Brian, could I have a bit more in the fold back, please? Ephesians 2 and verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that it has spoken to many people over many years. We thank you that your Spirit enlivens your word to each and every one of us. And we would ask, Holy Spirit, that you would enliven God's word to us this morning. That it would cut between soul and spirit, that it would cause us to know the directions to go, that it would be our treasure, our delight, the challenge that we need. Holy Spirit, we give you full control. Speak to each and every one of us, we pray now, in Jesus' name. Amen. I said we wouldn't be necessarily looking at the building in terms of the redevelopment, but I do want to talk about the building, to think about it. But the simple message, if you think, remember nothing else about this morning, the message is this. We are the building. We are the building. The bricks and mortar of a building are important, but the building is primarily about the people. Having said that, don't misunderstand that statement. It's easy to do. It's important that we get the balance right, and a good balance is required. We can't simply spiritualize the church and say it's all about the people, suggesting that the physical aspects don't matter. To do that would to be rob our faith of its earthy reality. It would be to destroy the whole idea of the incarnation with the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. We cannot become just spiritualized people. We are people that live in an earth. And Jesus came down into this earth to live, to die, and to rise again. And we will rise again, not with some ethereal spiritual bodies, but we will have bodies, physical bodies. And therefore, we can't just make this all about spiritual things. it is physical as well. Our buildings say something about us. They affect what we do. They impact the culture of the church. They are the presence in our community. They are what people outside the church understand by church. So we can't ignore our buildings. Saying it's just the people who count, because it's not. The buildings matter. But I'm not going to focus on that this morning. Over the last 10 years, I have been committed to engaging with our community more and more, and I believe that our building redevelopment is a vital part of that. I wouldn't have put in the work over the last 10 years to do that if I didn't believe it. So I do believe the buildings are important. But having said all that, this morning's focus, that's for another time. This morning, the message is this. We are the building. We're going to look at these verses together and draw out three simple points from them. But before we do, I think it's important to note that at the start of these verses, the first word that we come across is consequently. So what does consequently mean? Yeah, as a result of. This is the result of something, and therefore we need to look back to see what these verses are a result of. What Paul is saying in these verses is a result of something that has gone before. And so we need to know what has gone before. And we can see that in the preceding verses, and I just want to pick out two. Remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near through the blood of Christ. As a result of Christ's death on the cross, we who were separated from Christ, far away from him, have been reconciled to God and have access to God through the Spirit. That is simply amazing. Perhaps we don't recognize it. Perhaps we don't think we were far off. We were separated from God. There was a gulf between us and God. We could have no relationship with God. And yet, it is only through the blood of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, that we can enter into a relationship with him. We were far off, but God has brought us near. And we can enter into a relationship with the living God. That is simply amazing. We have not only become citizens of God's kingdom, we are part of God's family.
That is taking a slight downturn.
Consequently, because God has brought you near, you are a citizen of his kingdom. And you're part of his family. That's verse 19 in summary. And then Paul, having used the kingdom and household metaphors, the family metaphor that we looked at last week, Paul turns to a third metaphor, that of buildings, or more particularly a temple in which God lives. And so that's to what we turn now. And we're going to pick up three things about this building metaphor. The first thing to note about us as the building is that we must make Christ first. So the first thing is to make Christ first. Verse 20, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. When we looked at the plans for this building, one of the difficulties we had was working out where the building line was going to go. But once we worked out where we wanted to start, it was easy to work out where the rest would go. So we started in that corner over there, at the back. And we said, this is where we want the front of the church to be, and this is as close as we want it to be to the neighbour. And once we know where we're going to start, once we've got the corner, we then knew that we wanted to come back as far as we could and go out as far as we could. We wanted to be as expansive as possible, but we had to know where we were starting. We had to have our corner point, our point of reference. And for our lives, as the building of Christ, we need to know where our point of reference is. And Christ is that foundation and that chief cornerstone. It says that the foundation of the church is the gospel of Christ, the New Testament, with Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. If you think of a building, and we have metaphors of buildings and we think of them as like this, but when they built a building in those days, there was a stone that was bigger than the rest. It was the foundational stone. It was the one to which all of the other stones related, and it was the one that set the direction for everything about the building. And that should be what Christ should be for us. And as we set out on the building development project, we mustn't lose sight of the fact that we are the building, and that our foundation and the point of reference for everything in our lives, in all that we say and do, must be Christ and the Scriptures. That should be our reference point, our foundation for everything we do in life. Not just about the building redevelopment, everything in our life should be about that. Say, God is more interested in how each of us live our lives than he is about any physical building. He is more interested in you as a part of his building than he is about any physical building. It's not about just putting Christ first in the redevelopment project. It's about putting Christ first in every aspect of our life and our lives together as a church, in order that we might grow to become more Christ-like. That's what it means to be the building of God, is that we grow together in him, to be more like him, having him as our point of reference. What does putting Christ first mean in practice? Every word, thought, decision, action, and reaction has Christ as its reference point. I don't know how many of you have watched the film Four Weddings and a Funeral. Apart from some of the colourful language, there is a poignant moment in the film at the funeral when the words of W.H. Auden poem are read. About the person being buried, he was my north, my south, my east, my west, my working week, my Sunday rest, my noon, my midnight, my talk, my song. Is that who Christ is for you? With him, would you say, turn out the stars, I don't need them anymore? Would life cease to be worth living if it was living without Christ? Christ must be our first, our everything, our point of reference, our north, our south. Everything must be based on Christ. He must be the center. He must be everything to us. And I'm sure if you're like me, that's far from how you are. But we are the building. And that what the plans say. I look at our building and I'm not so good at looking at the plans and working out what it's going to look like in the end. I like the three-dimensional model because that's easier to work out. But you know what? We are the building of Christ, and the plans are that we look like Christ. And we have a three-dimensional model in Scripture of Christ. We are to be like Christ. He is to be the point of reference to all of our decisions. Every word, deed, action, decision, we need to take in reference to God. We need to say, if I'm going to decide what school I'm going to go to, what am I going to wear this morning, we do so in reference to God. It's not about just saying, I'm going to just do it this way and my way. Now, that doesn't mean to say, God, which do I wear, green or blue? What it means is that the choice of things that you wear, the choice of things that you say, the choice of how you react, and often we say, oh, I react, when, and that's not a choice, it's just, it's a reaction, but it is a choice. Each and every choice we make, we should make in reference to what Christ would want us to do. To glorify Him, everything we do, say and think should be about glorifying God. Christ first. And if we are to be the building where God lives, the second thing to note is that we must be joined together. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. The only way that we will grow and become a holy temple is if we are joined together. All too often, I think church can become like a pile of bricks without mortar sticking us together. If the bricks aren't joined, then there is no strength in the building. Now, I know this is where the metaphor and using modern day linking of buildings to olden day. There, the stones, the temple, wasn't held together with mortar. What happened was that they took the first stone, the cornerstone, and they put it in place, and then they got another stone. And they worked out how that next stone would fit comfortably and right with the cornerstone. And when it didn't fit, when it had round edges and the cornerstone had straight edges, they would dress the stone. And then there would be another stone, and that would come along and fit between the other two stones, and it needed to be this wide, and yet it was this wide. And they would pull it out, and that they would take a part of it away, and they would chop it off. And then there was a gap where the gap was this big, and yet the stone was this size, and they couldn't grow the stone, so they had to get another stone and fit it in. And the building was built together as something that just fitted together. And there wasn't mortar that held it there. It was held together because each part was made perfectly to fit with one another. And that is what church is about. We are called to fit perfectly with one another. And do you know what that means for us? It means that we have to fit in the right place, and that sometimes we have to be dressed to fit. We have to have parts of us changed. And sometimes those parts of us are changed to fit with the parts that are people next to us. And so that we fit snugly with one another. And that is how the church is being built together, joined together. Paul is talking about God's new community, which has been created through the breaking down of barriers. That's what the previous section has been talking about. The breaking down of barriers and the uniting as one. God is wanting to break down barriers, and He continues to do that. And too often in church life and in everyday life, we build barriers rather than break them down. We erect new barriers that destroy unity. We tolerate attitudes and behaviours that do so. And then the building, the holy temple, will never be built. As as we set out on this building redevelopment project, we mustn't lose sight of the fact that we are the building. Unless we pay proper attention to how we are built together, then this physical building development is a waste of time. It is an absolute waste of time unless we pay due attention to how we as the body of Christ are built together. And the building isn't an individual endeavor. We think, as long as I have my walk with God, I'm all right. As long as I keep my walk with God straight, then I'm fine. That is an individualism that has crept into the church, and it is an anathema to the whole of what God is about. The building is supposed to fit together, and if you have to be dressed up against one another, there is no point in the other stone just shifting a little bit the other way. We move together. We are together. We must be built together. It is a joint endeavor. It is about God's new community. It's about relationship. It's about living and working together. It's about that wonderful biblical concept of fellowship. Now, all too often, we think of fellowship as some form of friendship or social cohesion where we get on well. Oh, I like Brian and we get on well together. And therefore, we've got fellowship. What a load of rubbish that is. That is to rip out the heart of fellowship itself. Because the heart of fellowship is not social cohesion. It's not nice, oh yes, we get on well together. It's nothing to do with that. Fellowship at its heart is spiritual. You may not get on with somebody on a natural level. But fellowship is about butting up against one another and being stones together and standing strong together and doing the work of God together. It is a purposeful, not, oh, let's do something so that we can build fellowship. Fellowship isn't what we're about building. We're about building a temple. We're about building the people of God. And fellowship isn't the end. Fellowship is the means by which we get there. It is the way, it is a spiritual endeavor. It's working together. Fellowship is a partnership. It's working alongside each other for the gospel. The gospel is the end. Fellowship is the means. We are partners in the gospel. Our focus should be on Christ first. And that is seen through selflessness, humility, forgiveness. In all of that, the working together, the fellowship, the joined togetherness, it is only then that we become the building of God. And it doesn't say I'm the building of God. It says we are. The most annoying person and the most perfect person joined together. We are the perfect person, if there is such a person, cannot be the temple of God. It can be holy as anything, but they have to work together and be joined together. And it is a case of working and rubbing each other up and finding the difficulties and the challenges, but saying, forget the difficulties and challenges. What is important is that Christ is formed in me. And Christ is formed in you, and together we are the church of God. We are his building. I said to Deb, if I get carried away, give me a look. She hasn't given me a look yet, so I hope I'm not getting carried away too much. But this is important. We are the building of Christ. We are the building. We are the building. Put Christ first, and be joined together. Put Christ first, make him your everything, your reference point, and then be joined together. Don't do it on your own. There is no churchless church. I remember the last time I preached, perhaps not the last time, but one time when I preached about this, I got a number of emails, and the person that was visiting this that morning never came back to the church because they liked the idea of a churchless faith. And there isn't such a thing as a churchless faith. Because how can you have a churchless faith? We have a faith that is about being built together. It is about the church. I am fundamentally fully committed to church in all its flawedness. It is a building site which is an absolute mess. If you've ever, we lived for weeks and weeks in a kitchen that was just a building site. And it drove us nuts. But that is what the church is. It's ugly. It's frustrating. There's so many things. But it's about being a building site in which each stone is being dressed beautifully. And then when that final day comes, we will be seen for who we are. It's almost like there's places in Jerusalem where they dress the stones because they've got to take the stones in fully dressed and ready to build. They can't knock the stones about in the middle of Jerusalem. They build them in the quarries, and they build them, and they make sure they all fit together. They number them. They say, this one goes there, this one goes there, and then they bring it in and put it in place. That's how buildings happen there. And I think we're the quarry. We're out there, not in the middle of Jerusalem, and one day God's going to bring us all together and say, yes, I've made the temple in which I choose to dwell. That is what is going to happen. And we are the temple of God. Even now, we're in the building process, but we're at the temple of God. Getting carried away, Steve. Stop it. The third thing to note is that we are to become God's dwelling. We, you and me. Isn't that just... I can't believe it. It's astounding. Do you know what? God longs to dwell in me. Not me alone, of course. Because we are joined together. You know, us together, God wants to dwell in us. In him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Here is the purpose. Here Paul is saying, consequently, because of this, this is going to happen, and this is why. This is the purpose. Paul has put the purpose here. The purpose of all that he said, what Christ did on the cross, and what he's talked about the building metaphors, that they all come to this final conclusion. And the final conclusion is this. Christ dwells in his temple. To be a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. As we set out on the building development project, we mustn't lose sight of the fact that we are the building. This is about the indwelling of the Spirit. This is important. This is important. For those of us that like a task, get task focused, like to see the project steps developing, thinking this is going to happen, this, we need to remember that it's easy to get caught up in the practical. The physical, the bricks and mortar, and forget that the work is spiritual. We can get so caught up, we'll be busy, I'm sure some of us will be sort of, I don't know if these days we're allowed to dig foundations or not, but we will be doing things, we'll be, you know, preparing things and trying to get building plans looked at and done, and we can get so caught up in this. We may be involved in the finances and trying to get the finances together. We may be involved in the administration. Different people may be doing different things. But the thing is, we can get so caught up in that we forget this whole thing is spiritual. So so he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. We can put all the effort into the building project, and I've labored for 10 years to get us to this point of having planning permission. And I've put in a lot of effort, but if it's all effort that's my effort or your effort, if we just put in as much effort as we can, it's nothing if it was not a spiritual exercise. If we do it in our own strength, it will count for nothing. It has to be done in the strength of God. If this building redevelopment was easy and within our capability, then we would have a tendency to leave God out of it and just go it alone. If everything was going to run smoothly, we would soon forget God. We see that in Scripture. Time and time again, the people of Israel, it says, when you enter into the land and all is good, don't forget the Lord. It is our tendency. We all recognize it. Well, I hope we all recognize it. Our tendency is to selfishness. Our tendency is to forgetfulness. Our tendency is to move away from God because that is our sinful nature. But we are called to remember God, to never do it without Him, to always have Him as our everything. Every day we get up in the morning and it's about God, Christ first. But it's so easy we soon forget. And we go into our day and we are sailing on our own. I rejoice in the fact that as I look at the plans for the redevelopment, they seem impossible. I can't work out how we're going to do it. The money isn't there. We haven't the money. And I look out and think, we've got a congregation where if I asked you all to give generously and above, well above, I know that all the generosity that you give would not get us enough money to do this building project. We're older. We're not a big congregation. We're doing big stuff and we're thinking, how can we do this? And I'm full of fear and trepidation, pessimism. And I'm thinking, Lord, how can we do it? And I rejoice because this causes me to say, Lord, how are we going to do it? Because I'd hate to be thinking, oh, yes, we can. 10 years it's been waiting for us to happen. I never thought I would see this day. I never thought the council would say, the parking is okay. That has been a bugbear. I never thought that when we said, let us extend our tent, let us push the boundaries forward so that our building is stepped in front of all the houses around us, I never thought the council would do it. I thought they'd come back and say no. Oh, ye of little faith. I know, I am. I'm of one of little faith. But with God, all things are possible. And I love the impossibility of this. Because I believe that it is only as it is impossible that we will talk about the indwelling nature of the Spirit and we will exercise prayer. I can't remember what song we sang. That new one. Let me see. I see a generation rising up to take place with selfless faith. With selfless faith. I see a near revival striving as we pray and seek. We're on our knees. That is where we will need to be if we're going to see this building. We are the building, and it is only done on our knees. It is only as we let the Spirit indwell us. If we're going to achieve what we're setting out to do, the Spirit must indwell all that we're about. What's particularly good about that is that not only is it the means by which we achieve, it is the ultimate goal of life. This is great. The indwelling Spirit is not just the means, it's the end goal. I said fellowship is not the end goal. Fellowship is the means to get there. But the indwelling Spirit is not just the end goal, it is the means. If we don't have the Spirit, we won't have the Spirit. If we don't have the Spirit, we won't have increasing measure of the Spirit. We need the Spirit to get the Spirit. It's crazy, but it's true. But what God does is He gives us His Spirit. And what we do is we desire His Spirit. And He gives us His Spirit. And we desire His Spirit. And He gives us His Spirit. We desire His Spirit. He gives us His Spirit. And the body is built up. As we desire God, He supplies our desire. The real aim, forget the building project for a moment, the real aim of God in this place is that we are the building. That God may indwell us by His Spirit. God may indwell us by His Spirit. How does that happen? We make Christ number one. Everything we do is in reference to Him. Everything we do is in reference to Him. We are joined together. Stop all the bickering, the moaning, the complaining, the ways that you just... I was going to use bad language there. The way that you frustrate one another. The way that you annoy each other. Let's get joined together. Let's use that chipping away to bring glory to God. Deal with issues. Stop the selfishness. It's not about you, as if you could have your way. It's all about me. It's for my glory and my... No, I'm not talking about me. Jesus. It's all about Him. This is all for Him. Stuff your selfishness. Get on and work together for the indwelling of the Spirit. That will happen as we plead and we make every effort to have Christ. To be the building, we must put first Christ first, be joined together, and let the Spirit dwell in us. The musicians would return. We're going to sing, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Then flow in ceaseless praise." Let's make this our prayer, that everything, all that we are about, is God. The dwelling place of God is in us. So that, you know, I'm going to carry on preaching, Christina. You know what? It's amazing. Jerusalem was the temple of God, originally. And God decided, rather than have one temple in one place, what He decided He would do is He would make an international temple that isn't just in one locality. He went global. He was the first one to do globalization. And He did it on a big scale. And He said, "I'm going to send the temple out into the world. It's going to be everywhere. We are the temple. Everywhere you go this week, whether you're going back to university, whether you're going to work, whether you're staying at home, everywhere you're the temple of God. And people should be able to see the Shekinah glory of God dwelling in you." How amazing is that? Let's worship God. Let's give ourselves to Him. Let's take up the offering. Give to God your whole heart, not just your money. The money is a side attraction. If you don't give your whole heart to Him, then you won't give any of your money to Him. There's no point in me preaching about giving if you're not giving your heart. The first thing is that we have to give ourselves wholly, totally committed to Him. Let's stand and worship.